Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to our Q3 and 9 months FY19 earnings conference call. Today I am joined by Mr. Daljeet Singh, our Managing Director, and Mr. Sudhir Goyal, our Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded our updated result presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. We had a muted H1 FY19 on the back of unseasonal rains and inventory built up in channel. However, our Q3 results are good, and our overall outlook for the full year remains the same. We have seen this seasonal shift many times in the past, but on an annual basis, the outlook remains the same, and we are confident of outperforming the industry growth with strong order book in hand. Our AC volumes grew by 14.7% for Q3 FY19. We were able to sell 4.23 lakhs units for Q3 FY19 as compared to 3.69 lakhs in Q3 FY18. Our 9 months FY19 volumes are 11.54 lakhs, which is lower by 6.7% as compared to 9 months FY18. However, we are confident of coping up this loss in volumes of H1 FY19 in Q4 FY19 and partially has been delivered in Q3. We are optimistic maintaining our yearly guidance on the back of strong order book, increased traction on account of custom duty increase, demand forecast by brands, logistical hassle for imports, and changing dynamic conditions of room AC market. I would also like to highlight that not only our RAC division, but our AC components and non-AC components division are gaining momentum, and our penetration level with customers is increasing. We have seen strong growth in our AC and non-AC components over the 9 months' time, and even higher growth is expected on consolidated level due to our acquisitions in Elgin and Ever Electronics. I will now take you through the operational numbers. We have reported all numbers on standalone basis. The total revenue for Q3 FY19 stood at rupees 389 crores, up by 15%, as against rupees 338 crores for the corresponding quarter last year. Revenue from AC grew by 19% from rupees 265 crores in Q3 FY18 to rupees 314 crores in Q3 FY19. Our revenues for 9 months FY19 stood at rupees 1217 crores as against 1231 crores in 9 months FY18, marginally down by 1% due to muted revenue in H1 FY19. We have seen strong growth in our components division as well. Our components division grew by 11% to rupees 286 crores in 9 months financial 19 from rupees 259 crores in FY18. Our non-AC components grew at a faster rate of 16% on 9 month basis and 18% on Q3 FY19 basis. Our components division for 9 month FY19 comprises of 23.5% of our overall revenues as compared to 21% in 9 months FY18. In volume terms, we sold 4.23 lakhs units in Q3 FY19 as compared to 3.69 lakhs units in Q3 FY18, up by 15%. Our volumes for 9 months FY19 are 11.54 lakhs as compared to 12.38 lakhs in 9 months FY18, down by 6.7%. However, our full year outlooks remains the same in volume terms, and we will be able to cope up for our volume loss in 9 months FY19 in Q4 FY19, which is generally heaviest quarter for us due to inherited seasonality in the business. Our operating EBITDA for 9 months FY19 stood at rupees 90.5 crores with an EBITDA margin of 7.4% as compared to rupees 102 crores in 9 months FY18. The dip in margins were majorly due to increase in raw material prices, which gets passed on to the customer with a quarter lag. We also had a muted sales in H1 FY19 due to unseasonal rains and in the first half of the year an inventory pileup across the channel with dealers and distributors. This led to volume drop for 9 months while the fixed expenses remained same, which led to negative operating leverage. However, we see margin improvements for Q4 and full year FY19 due to lag effect which has been passed on in Q4. PAT for Q3 FY19 stood at rupees 3.85 crores and 9 months FY19 PAT stood at rupees 31 crores as compared to rupees 10 lakhs or rupees 0.1 crore and rupees 28 crores respectively for the corresponding period last year. PAT for 9 months FY19 grew at 10% on YOY basis. PAT margins for 9 months FY19 stood at 2.5%. As my closing remarks, I would like to highlight that even though we are hit by some roadblocks like unseasonal rains, extreme winters, or say cold waves which are currently observed across the country, our overall outlook on the industry and growth of industry remains the same. We are confident of the industry prospering in the medium and long term, even after some hiccups in the short term. With this, I open the floor for discussion.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya B. from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So my first question is on the gross margin pressure that we have seen this quarter. In the last two quarters, while the industry was grappling with the lower volumes, we had still maintained our gross margins or had rather expanded them a bit. But this time around, we have seen margins coming under pressure. What exactly has happened? How should we look at that going forward?
See, normally, as I explained last time also, that our set of supplies is, we get affected by a quarter lag of what industry does. Like in Q1, industry was minus 12%, but we were not that affected. But in Q2, we got affected because inventory started piling up, and that extended to Q3 also. So we were able to raise prices by end of December with most of the clients, which was primarily due to the steel prices going up and the copper pricings going up, as well as the FX lag impact. So now in Q4, all the prices have been corrected. So Q3 and especially the first Q2 and Q3 impact you are seeing in the 9 months. So in Q4, the results will be in line with, what our previous history has been, or in line with the industry. But this is always the lag when industry, because now, if you see in Q3, the second sales of the markets are not happening, but we are doing good because, it is reversely true also. So when we supply, the impact of that happens in the next quarter for the brands, and vice versa, it's true for us.
Sure, understood, sir. And regarding the other operating expenses or overhead costs, even those appear to have shown a fairly substantial increase this quarter. So how should we look at the business? Should we be building in, so far we haven't really seen major operating leverage gains coming through. So how should we look at it going forward?
Yeah, you're right. Actually, whenever this kind of unseasonal rains disrupts the whole supply chain and as well as the, inventory levels in the market, the whole supply chain gets disrupted. And so are the price increases and, the changes in the model lineup goes for. So, in H1, our volumes, in 9 months, our volumes are down by 6.7%. Now, whereas we couldn't decrease our fixed costs. So that is the main impact. And we could not get the price increase because there was inventory lying in the industry. So these two major factors led us to the margin growth. But now everything is back on track. We have already got the approvals from all the customers for increase in the prices, which we had sought for. Mm-hmm. And Q4 should be definitely positive on the outlook of the margins.
No, sir, my question specifically was on the absolute level of operating costs that we have recorded this quarter, overhead costs, which is roughly 23 crores, which was 19 crores in the preceding quarter and was 19 crores in Q3 of last year as well. So there's almost a 20% increase in operating costs, in overhead costs. And I'm wondering why exactly has that taken place this quarter?
See, you know, when the industry started in Q1, industry was very bullish. And so were, you know, the whole, all arrangements in the industry accordingly on the manpower, our fixed costs, our employee costs. Now, the main disruption on the margins has happened by two factors. One is the employee cost and second is the Forex impact on the 9 month basis. Now, both of these two put together, you know, nobody anticipated that industry was actually expecting 15% growth in Q1, whereas industry went minus 12%. So that means there was an issue of 27%.
Correct.
You know, minus 12 plus 15%. Now, nobody had anticipated that kind of thing, but you can't reduce your fixed costs on a sudden basis. You know, you and this is not a right way to approach that tomorrow industry will not go for. So it is just a one-time so kind of a season impact which has happened, and now it is back on track. So we think that we should be able to make it up by Q4, because our Q4 we have a robust orders in hands, and we are delivering the numbers which we had guided for.
Sure. And so lastly, what's the kind of capex that you're doing this year and next year, and where is the capacity utilization currently? And should, let's say, one or two clients get added, would it mean that you may have to set up a new capacity, or do you think that the current capacities can help servicing those new customers as well?
So we have already added three to four clients right now. Three clients have already started production, and we have started giving the material in January. Another client, one more client is getting added next month. If I see January, I mean, we have done much better. Our volumes are substantially up. So on the capacity side, you know, we would like to go and put up a facility in the south moving forward, as we are seeing customer cluster moving there. As I told you last time, that we always put up a factory when customer clusters move there. Since there was only one customer in the southern part of India, we didn't invest earlier, but now we are seeing three, four customers going and buying land that side. So we are also planning to put up a facility that side, because that's a geographical expansion strategy we have. On the capex side, we have closely done about 75 to 80 crores capex for the full year in this year. Earlier we had planned to do only 65 crore capex, but because of the custom duty increase, and the inverterization taking a stronger pace in the speed, we've invested 20 to 25 crore more in R&D and some in capacity expansion. So that's already been done for the north part of it. But we don't have capacities in southern part. If the customer cluster moves there by next year, we will be getting ready for that.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Aditya. We request you to come back in the question queue for the follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jasper.
Hi, Jignesh.
I just want to check, if you take about commentary from the many of the OEMs, they said that still general inventory is very high, both at the prime secondary level and you can say at their end also. So are you seeing that some of the order which they placed in January or probably in February, the pickup they want to take, how they defer it to probably 1 month or they will reduce the uptake?
Well, I mean, you know, all of the brands do not have the same kind of inventory level.
Sure.
Like we have clients like LG, which are operating on just few hours of inventory and they are doing pretty well. But there are certain clients which are having inventory right now, but they don't have inventories for all the models.
Okay.
So some of the clients have 2-ton models inventory. So they are buying 1.5 ton and 1 tons. Some of them have window AC inventory, so they are buying splits. So it's totally differing. So our volume increase has been actually primarily because we've added customer and we've also added new products, energy efficient products in our pipeline. And also, you know, the the inventory which has actually been sold at the customer in Q2, that is the impact we are having from our customers. So industry has not grown by 15%, but we have grown in volume by 15% this quarter.
And any color on the aggregate channel inventory right now?
On an aggregate basis, I mean, that will be a very tough question to answer on an absolute numbers basis. But on an overall basis, more or less what we hear from all our brands whom we are serving, that the inventories have been taken care of largely. There are some models which are stuck, but largely every brand is again bullish on the upcoming summers.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Couple of questions. So on the capacity utilization side, what kind of capacity utilization do we have? And the current setup, what kind of revenues can it support in the AC and the component business?
So on the capacity utilization side, we were operating at 67% capacity utilization in the Q1. And we are seeing close to 40-50% jump in our volumes in the Q4. So, we have already done capex to address that. And this current capex can lead us to definitely, on a yearly basis, I mean, we can do double the numbers what we've done. But that's not how the industry works. Industry works on the seasonal basis. So on seasonal basis, somewhere we will be touching about 85% capacity utilization this summer.
So what maximum revenue, based on the seasonality factor, can this capacity of your support?
Well, it's very difficult to answer that way because it's a subjective term on the model mix, what kind of model mix we will be delivering. Because that is totally dependent on the customers, whether indoor goes more or outdoor goes more or window AC goes more, or whether we are asked to put compressors in that or not. So it's difficult to map up what kind of revenue we can do. Okay. You know, on the volumes, yes, we can definitely do close to about 4 million numbers or somewhere about 3.5 to 4 million, depending on model mixes in North India. And we have certain capacities in western part of India, which is underutilized right now. And we are looking forward to put up additional capacities in the southern part of India because of the customer cluster.
Okay, so it's basically 3.5 million units versus 2 million that you are currently doing, actually. And I think last year you did about 2 million, right?
Yeah, I mean, that also depends, which kind of
what
market.
Agree. My second and last question is on the, so when you said 40-50% volume growth in quarter four, which means what kind of volume growth do you think you will finish in FY19 on the AC side?
So we are looking for, last year we did about 1.9 million units, and we've given a guidance of 2.1 million, and that's what we are maintaining.
Okay.
Despite of the headwinds in the industry.
And you have that visibility?
Yes, we have a strong visibility.
Okay. Lastly, on the component side, there was a clear strategy and roadmap to enhance the components business, but I actually don't see the components number flowing in despite the acquisition that you made for Elgin, and consolidation of it. So what's gone wrong?
The results which we have floated is only on standalone basis.
Okay.
You will see the consolidation numbers in the annual results when they are declared, and thereon it will be always a consolidated number displayed. So on overall basis, we have already on standalone basis, the contribution of components has grown by 2% from 21 to 23 in 9 months. In Q3 we have grown by around 16%, and non-AC components have also grown. But on a console basis, if you see with Elgin and Ever put together, we should be somewhere near in a bracket of 34-35% on an overall basis, in a console basis.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Pritesh Chheda. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict your questions to per participant. The next question is from the line of Prasal Paras Nagara from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jasbir.
Hi, Paras.
Yeah. Sir, I wanted to understand what is the kind of price increase that we have taken at the end of December?
Well, I don't think so that we can disclose that part of thing, but it is in line to our commodity and currency both put together, because it has varied from customer to customer.
Okay. And so can you share the 9 months Elgin and Ever sales and EBITDA, please?
So Elgin has EBITDA terms, it has grown from 3% to 5%, and Ever has also grown by a percentage in EBITDA terms. On the revenue basis, we are at 231 crores on 9 months.
Elgin.
Okay. And PICL is 86 crores, and Ever is
43
crores for Q3. Because we required the Ever in Q3 only.
Got it. And sir, lastly, from the data that you've given, it seems that the AC component revenue is not increasing. Actually, it is decreased tremendously. Can you share some insights on what is happening in the AC component business?
So in AC component business, you know, some of the clients have shifted to finished goods sourcing. So the AC component which we used to sell, that has gone into captive, which we don't sell internally. So that is the reason why it has come down. And on the non-AC components, there is a growth which is seen. But on totality basis, if you see, we have grown both the components, AC and non-AC components.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of K.U. Pandya from ICICI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. Sir, my question is, sequentially, if we see our revenue increase from 226 crore to 388 crore, versus that, our gross margin has reduced from 17.8% to 14%. So despite increase in the revenues, our gross margin have reduced. So inflation is such a high, such a high percentage of inflation we are witnessing?
Yeah, that's right. Because in 9 months, if you see, we have there was a steel increase, there was a copper increase, and there was a forex which was contributing. Now, all the three have been passed on to customers successfully. Some of them have been successfully passed on in end of December, and most of them have started from first week of January.
And the entire inflation has been passed on.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Bose from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand one thing. From a P&L, it appears that you're sitting on a fair amount of inventory at the end of third quarter. So that is what you're expecting in fourth quarter to get absorbed, is it?
Yes. Generally, we built up inventories in the Q3 because of huge orders which we have in Q4. So that is in line to our previous, strategies also. Because Q4 in January itself, we saw a great numbers going up. So, that most of the inventories are being consumed.
But with extended winters now, do you see that as a risk that OEMs might not take in as much as that? And that might lead to, fourth quarter also inventory getting built up and not getting absorbed into the system. That you see as a risk, given the current...
Actually, you see, we have added some customers. That is added, that is giving us some growth. And also, the products which were added in last year, Q4, as is giving us a complete year portfolio. Despite, brands... we are getting orders, and the order book is very, very visible, because normally, all the brands are now again back on track on as far as lifting is concerned from us.
Okay. So to that extent, in that sense, the OEM general trade inventory is not that high. So even if the winter is extended, you still assume or you still are expecting that your inventory will get absorbed into the system. Is that a right assumption?
See, winters are affecting only the sales of North India, whereas the coastal belt and the western part central part of India is already witnessing heat. And there the normal sales are going on. And in winters also there is all-weather AC which has started picking up, which is, you know, quite popular these days, and the numbers are flowing in better.
Okay.
So overall we are quite bullish. And none of our customers have reduced the order intake looking into the complete, you know. And second is, I think the main import duty increase has also helped us, because earlier many brands were importing. Now they are buying that models from us.
Okay.
So that is also giving us a good growth.
Okay. And, sir, about the South capacity that you mentioned, that few of the OEMs are moving in there. So there the revenue opportunity for us will be the components part of it, or are they setting up? So how is the arrangement there? How are we looking at that opportunity space? We are looking more for components part of it, or we'll be putting up more of the SKUs that we'll be sending out? So how are you looking at that South capacity?
As we are a complete solution provider, we will be putting up components as well as assembly part, but that will happen in phases. We are not going to put up a large capacity for finished goods there until unless the market build up. But yes, as a strategic partners or a supplier to our brands, we would love to be near to them. And it will start from components, but simultaneously we can offer them semi-knockdown conditioned kits as well as finished goods also.
So these OEMs are putting up capacity in South to put to manufacture or to assemble their own units? Is that the idea there?
Yes. So generally when any brand puts up a facility, they put up a assembly line, and they need sub-assemblies as well as they need components on just-in-time basis to be supplied to them. And some models, because they will not be putting up 10 lines, some of the models they would like to buy on a complete unit basis. And in some model goes like minus compressors or minus motors or something like that. So as we are integrated solution provider, we offer additive manufacturing solutions. We would love to give same kind of solution what we are giving them in North India.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Bose. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict your questions to per participant. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So just to take this forward on the capex that you're talking about in the south of India, what kind of capex will we need to incur and what kind of capacities are we planning?
Right now we are just envisaging buying a land on the in next financial year. And could be we start building, start the building process in next financial year, and next level of capex will come to next financial year. So looking into that, we will be, you know, keeping aside around 30 to 35 crores or maybe 40 crores for land and building initially in the next financial year.
And for an overall plant, I mean, spread over 2 to 3 years, what will be the total capex that one will be required? While it will be obviously spread over a 2 to 3 year time frame.
Yes, of course. So we will have in phases in total of about 90 to 95 crores in one in that plant, in spread in two to three years.
Okay. So my next question is, you know, we spoke about margins which got impacted because of the higher input costs, etc. Now, I'm looking at a nine-month period, you know, there has been a drop in margins for the reason that you mentioned. But now, you know, when I'm looking at 4Q of last year, it's a very fairly high base of, you know, almost close to 10%. So would it be fair to say that as a year as a whole, there will be a drop in margins, or has the price, you know, increases that you've taken will be able to recoup some of the drop in margins in 3Q?
So partial recoup will happen in Q4, because Q4 is quite good in numbers as compared to last year. And partial, I think, and there will be a percentage, in terms of percentage, there will be a drop because we have Iljin and Ever also being consolidated on the annual basis. Those two companies are lesser, you know, EBITDA companies. But on the absolute number basis, you will see a jump.
No, I'm talking on the standalone basis, sir, where there is no Iljin or Ever. So, you know, I understand that will happen on a consol basis, but I'm talking more about the standalone level.
Yeah, so standalone basis, we will be able to partially recoup the some of the margins in Q4.
Okay, okay. And just if I may just squeeze in, you know, what kind of, you know, new customers have you added or, you know, in the past quarter, which can, you know, drive volumes going forward, both on a standalone as also in terms of Elgin and Ever?
So we have, in Elgin and Ever, we've already added customers like Hitachi and Carrier Midea and also Voltas. And in Amber, on the components as well as on the sub-assembly side, we have added Carrier Midea and Havells, and we are just about to start with Flipkart.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ms. Nair. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Manoj Ghori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just wanted to understand, so today when we look at, we have a fair bit of visibility on the fourth quarter of FY19. So any visibility or commitment that you have seen for upcoming summer season, like your peak summer between your April to June?
So like in January itself, we are, you know, up by 55% nearly in terms of volumes. And all customers are bullish on the season, coming season. Industry is expecting double-digit growth again. And because we have added customers and because the imports are reducing, we see a very robust Q1 of the next year.
So ideally, if you look at, I think, more number of client associations and with more preference for domestic manufacturers, I think there should be a more increased commitment from the clientele side. So correct me if I'm wrong, because I think people would be chasing you at this point of time. Because obviously there would be some sales and people would be looking at domestic manufacturers and obviously with the capabilities that Amber has. So obviously, this is just what I'm trying to understand on the commitment side from your clients.
Yeah, I mean, because of this import duty increase and also many brands have faced a lot of inventories from imported side when the season hit them. So now they are shifting complete strategy to India and we happen to be one of the preferred supplier to them. So definitely there's a lot of inquiries and there's a lot of commitment solidification on the brand side with us. And they are giving us good numbers for coming year.
So if you look at the current capacity utilization, like you are already saying, like fourth quarter is going to be a very robust one. So we would be running at around 100% utilization during the quarter.
Yes, I mean, we will be ending up doing not 100%, but close to about 85 to 90% in some of the months in quarter. 100%, it's very difficult to achieve in our kind of business.
Right, sir.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Ghori. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Srinath PVS, Spark Fund. Please go ahead.
Okay.
So your line is audible. Hello. Mr. PVS, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question. Due to no response, we need to go to the next question. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi Karlekar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to better understand your pricing contract between you and the brand that you serve. Sir, are these contracts typically quarter to quarter or there is some sort of annual volume guidance that you get from brands and some part of it is built on that? Like in case where budgeted, like actual volumes are quite different than the budgeted volumes, how is the shortfall or the excess profit because of operating leverage passed on to the brands?
So generally the visibility given by our customers are for about 1 year, but that is then broken into quarters and monthly basis. So we get 1 month fixed plan with a rolling plan of next 2 months. Now, rolling plan is, of course, a subjective term. There can be plus minus percentage terms. But our journal contracts are on a quarterly basis. We reconcile a currency commodity and in total impact of it, or if any BOM changes are there. So that is passed on with a quarter lag.
Okay. And when a brand is growing faster than, say, industry, how are typically arrangements where the favorable operating leverage, do brands kind of expect that the benefits of operating leverage to get passed on to them, or it's in most of the case like on an annual basis, it's really the commodity cost and the effects that gets passed on?
So
I just want to understand how much you get to retain and how much needs to be passed on. Over year on year basis?
No, everything is passed on. It is just there are, some brands which we don't need to follow up where any currency or commodity exchanges at a quarter level is shifted into a new costing and that is floated. But there are some brands where there are follow-ups required. In the follow-ups required basis, there could be another lag of another 10 or 15 days for getting the increases.
Okay. No, sir, what I'm trying to say, understand really is, you earn some profit per AC sold, and if you have a strong volume growth, say 25-30%, so you have a better kind of operating leverage. So in that case, your profit per AC kind of goes rapidly, like it increases rapidly, or large part of that benefits kind of you have to share with the brand. That's really what I want to, like, profit per AC, does that change materially?
Operating. Our model is a basic aggregation of demand model. So whenever we aggregate the demand, if customer A wants only 35,000 pieces and they are demanding only 35,000 pieces next year or maybe 40,000. There is no rationale for price reduction. But yes, if somebody is jumping from 35,000 to 150,000, there is a decent ask for a price reduction because of the operating leverage. Now, just because that amber is growing at 25%, there is no rationale for a brand to ask for a price reduction.
Mr. Karlika, I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Darshika Khemka. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Jasveer, hi, this is Amit. I just have a bookkeeping question. 9-month period, how much is the Forex loss that we have versus last year 9-month?
4.57 crore is the loss for 9 months. Last time, 9 months, 5.5, we had a gain.
Okay. Fair point. And second point is broadly pertaining to, so we've taken a price hike and hopefully Q4 will reflect the impact of that since it comes with a quarter lag. I just wanted to understand in terms of overall gross profit profile, because input costs change, so when we earn from our customers, it's not on percentage basis, but rather on a, per unit basis. It's IDU or ODU in terms of lump sum. So any change in the BOM composition will, reflect a change in the, on a percentage basis. So keeping that, functionality in mind, I just wanted to understand, to the previous question also asked, that the kind of margin profile that we will clock broadly for the year, do you think any part which is going to reflect in terms of weakness for fiscal 19? Because 9M is not a reflection. Q4 should, absorb most of the margin, and hence, Q4 margin should be significantly reflecting that.
Yes, we don't track our margins on percentage basis because percentages can go up or down because of currency and commodity issues.
Yes.
On an absolute number basis, per unit basis, we definitely track that, and that is what we seek to get increases or decreases, respective of time. So yes, Q4 we as I've earlier intimated that we have got increases from the customers. So there should be a reflection of the absolute numbers coming back.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod Chari from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. You just mentioned sometime back that Career Media is also one of the new customers that you acquired. We are also hearing that Media is setting up capacity and they have already acquired land in India. And so do you think, you know, competition is emerging on the contract manufacturing space? That's one. And secondly, with the Chinese entry, like Media and even possibly MI might enter India at some point with AC as a product. Do you see some kind of a disruption that they could create similar to what has happened in the LED TV or the mobile segment?
No, so whenever a customer comes and put up a plant in India with the large investments, like Midea is planning, you know, that's a positive thing for us because their belief in Indian growth story is very much there, where we are placed. You know, and secondly, we have started supplying sub-assemblies to Career Midea, and, you know, we were supplying components. So this is a forward integrated solutions which we are giving to that customer, and whenever they will put up, right now they are adding some lines for the refrigerator and washing machine and compressors. They already have a plant for manufacturing full air conditioners in Bawal in north part of India, where we were supplying some components earlier, and now we are giving some sub assemblies. So whenever they will go to Pune, we already have a plant in Pune from where we would love to cater to them.
Okay. And in terms of price distortion, do you think the Chinese are capable of distorting prices like they have done in other durable segments, segments?
Well, air conditioners are very different than mobile sector or TV sector because in TVs, technology obsolescence and also in mobile sector, technology obsolescence is quite great. And that's where the price disruptions have happened. But in air conditioners, it is very difficult because it is already highly crowded in the brand space. And there is already a cutthroat competition within each brands going on. And we have a Chinese player like Haier existing in Indian market from 15 years. And even in Career Midea is existing in India from last 9 to 10 years. So they are gradually growing their market shares. But on this sector where we are placed, like having 12 plants in India, giving diversified customer components business as well as semi-knockdown conditions and full AC, I don't think so there's going to be a price disruptions on that side because the entry barriers are quite high. The component sectors which we are delivering right now have at least 2 years of entry barrier in terms of reliability going through because the final product performance is dependent on the functionality of the components we are supplying. So all the companies, they go through the complete reliability cycle. Then on the day one, they don't give us 100% share of business. The share of business gradually grows. So there is about a journey of travel for 3 to 4 years. So I don't think so that we see that as a challenge. But we've already crossed that milestone. And Amber is today delivering number of solutions in air conditioners and washing machines and refrigerator space in terms of electronics, in terms of sheet metal, in terms of injection molding, in terms of motors and heat exchanger space. So we are not seeing any Chinese companies putting up a plant like us. But any brand like MI or Career Midea or maybe in future GRI comes, that will be an opportunity for us to serve them.
Okay. Thanks. That addresses my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Bose from DSC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. So just one question, without getting into quarterly this thing, on an annual basis, what is the steady state gross margin that you expect from your business, given that now you're seeing raw mat prices also being passed on a steady base, on an annual basis, whatever volume that you expect, what are the gross margins that you expect to make?
So we are endeavoring to attempt the same numbers as we delivered last year. But on a console basis, because I explained that Elgin and Ever are lower EBITDA margin companies, or a percentage basis, you may see a little bit dip. But on a console basis, we should deliver the same numbers. We are in the same number bracket.
Yeah, but on a standalone basis, you'll maintain the gross margin that you had done last year.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya B. from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So you had mentioned that capacity utilization should touch around 85% in the peak quarter. So does that mean that with existing capacities, we can maybe undertake only 10% higher revenues? And in order to be growing further, we essentially need further capex to be done.
So additional capacity in our business, putting up a line doesn't cost much. It's a capex of 6 to 7 crores to put up a additional capacity of assembling air conditioners in the line. In case there is a requirement of components business like heat exchangers or motors, that would require a capex. Right now, we are quite good on the terms of space and buildings, but in case, we don't know what, right now, if we even touch 85 to 90%, we are not anticipating a huge capex coming up in coming year.
So the capacity constraint as of now, you mean to say, is more on the assembly line side as opposed to on the component side?
Yes, because on the component side, we've already done capex this year.
Understood. And so you spoke about forex loss amount this year and the forex gain that you had the last year. What exactly is the nature of this forex item?
So, hi Aditya, this is Sudhir.
Hi.
Exact nature of the forex loss is the price at which we are buying and the price at which we are paying to the vendor. So there is always an accounting period difference in payments. So I'll give you a small example. Let's assume we have bought a material on 1st of October when the rate was 70 rupees each dollar. And we have made the payment to the vendor, the rate is 74 rupees.
Okay.
4 rupees is a forex difference or forex loss.
Correct.
If it's a vice versa situation, like we are at the time of payment, the rate is 69 rupees, so 1 rupee is a forex gain.
So this is mainly in respect of creditors, MTM for creditors at the time of payment, basically.
Yeah, it is both, MTM and the actual realized.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's not possible to hedge it in any manner?
No, we can hedge it as well, and we are doing hedging as well. But still, whenever, let's assume when we have bought the material, the rate was 70 rupees.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately on the same day, even if I am hedging, so there will be a hedging premium.
Right.
My payment term is 90 days, so there will be a hedging premium for 3 months. Let's assume that premium is 1 rupee.
Right.
1 rupee will always be a loss.
Understood. Okay. Perfect. Understood. So thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srikanth PVS from Spark Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, this is Ravi from Spark Capital. Sir, just wanted to know the ever PICL and ILGIN numbers once again. Revenue, EBIT margin and PAT margin for 9 months.
So, ILGIN we have done 9 months, 231 crores with a EBIT margin of 5%. Ever we have done Q3, 43 crores because we've bought this company in Q3 only. Right now, this is at 3% gross EBITDA margins. And in PICL, we've done 86 crores and EBITDA margins are
7.5%. And PAT margins for these three, how much will it be, sir?
In the percentage terms?
Yeah, by percentage terms, so it should be fine.
So we have a PAT of almost 2.5 crores in ILGIN. And we have almost 1 crore in PICL. And we have about 50 lakhs in EVER.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who has questions may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankur Sharma from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So two questions. One, if you could just break down your volumes for the quarter, this 4,23,000 units into IDUs, ODUs, windows, which you normally share, and a similar breakdown for the 9 months as well.
On the complete 11.54 numbers which we have done. So we are IDU, 9 months, I'm telling you 9 months number. So IDU we have done 5.81, ODU we are 2.57 plus 3.47 is ODU and 2.25 is window air conditioners.
Well, we don't have anyone in the question queue. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Jasbir Singh for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us. I hope we have been able to answer all your queries. In case you require any further details, you may please contact us or our investor relations advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors, SGA. Thank you very much.